Blog Talk Radio.
We'll sing a song, a soldier song, with cheering, rousing chorus. As round our blazing fires we throng, the starry heavens o'er us, impatient for the coming fight. And as we wait the morning light, here in the silence of the night, we will chant the soldier's song. Soldiers are we, whose lives are pledged to Ireland. Some have come from a land beyond the wave, sworn to be free. Shall shelter the despot or the slave. Tonight we man the barn of wealth, in Erin's cause come woe or well. Mid cannons roar and rifles peal, we will chant the soldier's song.
Instead of violin, you can substitute our land. Our land. A guy went to pick up his son, and he was in kindergarten, and he looked in the classroom, and all the kids were there but his son. He says, "Where's my son?" He says, "Oh, he's doing 5 to 10. For what? He had a cupcake, and he made it into a gun. Right, and here these guys are singing mid cannons roar and rifles peal. We will sing you a soldier's song. Oh, man, how are we ever going to win the next war after we've been sissified? We're in trouble. We're in trouble. Remember when we were the USA? Back in 1938, the Olympics in Berlin. Or was it Munich? I think it might have been Munich. Jesse Owens showed Adolf Hitler that our melting pot was working and American mongrels were better men. Now we have Jesse Jackson instead of Jesse Owens. At the same time, Al Jolson was singing Hatikva, and we were coming back from the Great Depression and building dams and skyscrapers. Now we are mentally depressed, suicidal, divorced, and drug addicted. Not only that, the Ten Commandments have been changed from thou shalt not to thou shall. And all we have to show for it is Al Sharpton instead of Al Jolson. Berkeley, California, a taxpayer-funded communist college, spits on the American and Israeli flag, but cheers the ISIS flag. And all we have to show for it are draft-dodging presidents and a communist-educated president who did not get elected all by himself. Wouldn't you like to know who put him in power? Who designed his life to get to this so he could take down the United States of America? All the stock market good news is not going to put a dime in your pocket as tax dollars are being pulled out. The government is too big. We can't afford it. We can't pay international welfare while the communists, a former Democrat Party, smuggle in slaves. You know, no good is coming of this immigration. Outlaw immigration. It is very sad. Let me pop to a tune, and then I'll dig out something we'll talk about. This is the Rosie O'Donnell song.
In a cavern down by canyon, excavating for a mine. There lived a miner from North Carolina and his daughter, Chubby Clementine. Now every morning, yeah, just about dawning, when the sun began to shine, you knew she would rouse up, wake all of them cows up, and walk them down to her daddy's mine. I took the footbridge, we crossed the water, though she weighed 299. The old bridge trembled and disassembled. Whoops! Dumped her in to the foamy brine. Hey, crack like thunder. Ho, ho, you know she went under. Ho, ho, a blowing bubble down the line. Hey, I'm no swimmer, but were she slimmer, I might have saved that Clementine. Oh, she broke the record way underwater. I thought that she was doing fine. I wasn't nervous, not until the service that they held for Clementine. Hey, you sailor, ho, ho, way out on your whaler, with your harpoon and your trusty line. If she shows now, yell, there she blows now, it just may be Chunky Clementine. One more time. Oh, my darling, 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 sweet Clementine. You may be gone, but you're not forgotten. Fare thee well.
Okay, one of the subjects that came up on the blog sites this weekend is the open carry debate. Now, this is a blog site where Second Amendment devotees are debating whether it's smart to open carry or concealed carry. And the majority of them feel it's better to carry concealed. And I injected a little humor. I told them that not only do most of them, like I said, agree it's better to carry concealed. Why signal that you're armed and already tip off somebody that might do people harm? And I said, not only do I support open carry, but I like to carry with the hammer cocked back, holding it in two hands, and running serpentine up and down the street with my helmet on. I said, boy, I bet you the communists are getting upset right now. So here's one of the comments that came back. My wife never leaves home without her Ruger. Okay. And I got to tell you, I'm a big advocate of ladies with pistolas. Back in the 1800s, when women were very demure and got the vapors, they used to carry little muff guns. And in the wintertime, when they wore their muffs, the gun was right inside. And if somebody came, of course, there was no cell phones. Somebody came to do them harm, they would just say, oh, please don't hurt me, and pull out their little muff gun and dispatch the bad guy. What I call it, I don't say it's a deterrent. I say it's a mind changer. Yeah, if a guy is about to hurt you real bad, ladies, and you have your little compact size pistola, 22 shorts, you can change his mind. After he feels about three rounds of piercing his flesh, he will stop and reconsider his position. And that's what we want, isn't it? We want to deter him from hurting you. It is really sad. So let's see what some of the people said about open carry. Like I say, most want concealed. It is very hard to get a carry permit in New York City. The communists have made it almost impossible. And one day, the knock on the door will take all your guns away. I say if they're really interested in gun control, what they should do is go into the ghetto and seize the guns there first. Call when they're finished. Yeah. Or you could go to any Indian reservation and raid them for their guns. And give me a call when you finish that, too. Anybody that wants to take your guns away intends to kill you. And if you don't believe that, just look what's happening in crazy Africa. Who's got guns? The government and the communists and the Islamists. They're the only ones that have guns. And if you go to South America, it's the same thing. Only the narco-terrorists and the government have guns. And in the case of Mexico, the narco-terrorists and the government are the same. Have you noticed that everybody gives this president of Mexico, what's his name, Nieto? They give him a complete pass. There is no blame for the Mexican government who are running all kinds of Latinos up to the border, go into the United States, go in there, go ahead. And except that good-looking girl, you're going to stay with us. We have another job for you. Yeah, 10% of all of the Latinos coming across the border will be siphoned off for crime, for the crime syndicate. And there'll be young boys and girls about to become women. And some of them will be forced to become women before their time. And you know what I'm talking about. When the president of Mexico says nothing about the 43 students from a small town who were arrested by the police and turned over to narco terrorists and nobody can find their bodies, you know that on your border is all hell waking to break loose. And when 30 million Mexicans come across the border crying sanctuary, you're not going to know whether to poop or go blind. So here's what somebody's saying about gun carrying. I personally favor concealed carry in most public situations. Open carry is fine in some areas, but in an urban environment, it's asking for trouble. You do not need to want. I believe that you should have the right to carry, but common sense tells me that taking your AR-5 on Main Street is not a great idea. You know, when I grew up, I was 16 years old. I was in the NRA. I signed up in the NRA, and I had to go into the ghetto and get my NRA training from a black man. And I went with all my buddies, and boy, did they pay attention to everything he taught us. And then we got our NRA cards, and we all went out and bought guns. And you know how hard it was to buy a gun? You went into the sports shop, and you said, oh, that 30-30 Winchester, I want to buy it. And the guy says, okay. I said, I don't have all the money. Can I pay for it on time? The guy says, okay. And when I paid it off, I came. I got a little grocery slip, one 30-30 Winchester, $98. And I carried it home. And I carried it home in New York City, walking up St. Nicholas Avenue from 181st Street to my house at 189th Street with the lever action opened, and nobody bothered me. Nobody stopped me. And I have a relative who used to go duck hunting out at one of the airports. I forget which one. He used to take the train, and he'd get on the subway, and he had a rifle over his shoulder. I think he hunted duck with a .22. And he had a rifle over his shoulder. And then when he returned, he bagged two ducks, and they were in a bag, and they were bleeding. And he had his rifle over his shoulder, and nobody bothered him on the subway. Now, could you imagine that? When I went to Fort Hood, Texas, in the 50s, I got off the plane, and a young man about 16 years old got off with a rifle. He was carrying his rifle, and a sheriff met him at the airport and said, hey, John, how did you do? He says, I placed second. He was in, like, shooting matches. And that's what it was like back then. Now, forget about it. The kid makes a cupcake into a gun, and they want to give him 5 to 10. In Leavenworth, they want to put him in a military prison. So, why advertise to a bad guy that you're armed? I much prefer to surprise him with a muzzle flash. Everybody talks about 230 grains of jacketed lead. The 230 grains must be the magic number. Unbelievable. Now, am I qualified to have a weapon? Well, when I was in the Army, I qualified with a .45. I qualified with a carbine. I qualified with an M1. I got M1 thumb. Everybody that ever had one knows what I'm talking about. I qualified with a burp gun. They called them grease guns. And the tankers have them. And I think they fired 45 rounds. And then I qualified with a 30 caliber. Then I qualified with a 50 caliber. Machine guns, those are. Then I qualified with a 3.5 rocket launcher. And then I qualified with an 81 millimeter mortar. So, I can give some classes. As a matter of fact, I gave a class on the 50 caliber machine gun, and I was only a private. I had finished active duty, and I was in the reserves. I came out of private. I did some bad things. Nothing that would betray my country, though. And it was more like delivering beer to the troops. And here I am, all these reservists. I was the expert, the sole expert. And I'm giving a class on a 50 caliber machine gun, They have a gauge that you have to use to set it so it works properly. And a helicopter comes down on the field that we're at, and a general comes out, and I'm giving this class, and he's watching me, and he's looking at me giving the class. He's very impressed how to change the barrel and, you know, how many clicks you got to do when you reset it. And he's looking, and he's looking at my my collar. He's looking for bars. And he goes, "Soldier, what rank are you?" I said, his head, and he walked away. Unbelievable, man. This guy says, "I conceal carry all the time in my house, around my property, in my car, shopping, and I always look for a 30-06 sign before going in a place of business." I don't know what that means, but it must mean we welcome guns or something. I agree with Ernie Shore. Concealed carry is safer for the one carrying and harmful for the criminal getting the surprise of their short life. Quick NRA story. 12-year-old girl said goodbye to her father. He went off to work. She was alone in the house. 10 minutes after her father left, two guys kicked in the front door and headed up the stairs. Illegal immigrants. Before they could get to the top of the stairs, she was at the top of the stairs with a shotgun. She killed the first guy coming up the stairs. She shot the second guy in the back as he was running out the door. She happens to be, I think she was 12. She might have been 10. Let's say she was 12. She was a skeet shooting champion. Her daddy taught her well. When they searched the two illegal immigrants, one had a pistol in his pocket that he had taken from a victim of a robbery who he stabbed to death. So that little girl had God and bullets on her side. So at home I keep a Ruger GP100. 38/357 nearby. When out and about, I carry my Kel-Tec 9mm IWB concealed. You never know. I got to tell you, all it would have taken would have been one guy at Sandy Hook. And instead of blaming guns, they should have blamed the people that didn't hire a school guard. You cannot stop a crazy with a sign that says this is a gun-free zone, just like you can't stop the dealer with a sign that says this is a drug-free zone, especially now when Colorado is leading the way to undo the nation. And they'll tell you there's no harm in weed. They'll tell you there's no harm in a lot of things. Yeah, here's a guy that says common sense versus the law. Open carry draws attention to you. Yeah, I'm a little leery of guys that open carry. I've seen guys in the gas station business playing open carry and showing off. I don't buy it. Person that you have to fear the most is the one who appears to be the least threat. You know, a powerful man doesn't have to say much. You know, it's implied. Don't we have any lawyers on this blog? Defend open carry over concealed carry, and then defend concealed carry over open carry, and defend why you should open carry while also concealed carry. Okay, so we covered a little bit of the gun laws. The Second Amendment is most important. You'll never be a slave if you got a gun. You may be a dead hero, but you will. You will not be taken easily. The next tune I'm going to play for you is an Irish tune. It's called Tara's Harp. It's sung by a guy named Frank Patterson. And basically what it is Tara is an imaginary castle in Ireland. And actually, it represents the country of Ireland, this one castle. And hanging on the wall in the castle is a harp. And the harp is the symbol of Ireland. That's what it is. And you always see a harp when you see the Irish, any Irish, anything Irish, there's always a harp. There's a beer called Harp Beer. And even I think Guinness has a harp on their logo. And the harp is silent because Ireland is in slavery for 500 years. When the British beat the Earls of Ireland, Ireland became a slave state for 500 years. So once you lose your freedom, it's very hard to get it back. And the harp is silent because Ireland is silent and subdued. And the words of the harp that runs through Tara's halls, one of the lines is, but still, still it, when there's injustice and there's still a fever to a revolt, you know, the harp will play once again. So I give you the tune, and is the my message in this little dissertation is this could happen to us, and we'll be slaves for a long time. Oh, it's not playing. Let me try it once more. Here we go. Sarah Palin says, Barack Obama gave voters the middle finger and extends amnesty to millions of undocumented invaders, really. They're not immigrants, because immigrants stand in line and fill out forms. This is the epitome of giving Americans the middle finger, she says, the one-time vice presidential candidate. Boy, they really raked her over the coals, didn't they? Imagine if Hillary Clinton got the same treatment. And you know what? She may. She may. This may be her payback time for what the communists did to Sarah Palin. And I tell you, the one big question is going to be, why did you hang up the 911 phone call from Benghazi? And why you never testified, besides, who cares how they died? Oh man, I hope they play that every day she makes a speech. Right after she makes a speech, they should play that, who cares how they died. If she can say that about four, she can say that about 4,700. That'll be butchered a Monday morning in Democrat chop chops. Yeah. There's an ad on TV, Save the Tigers. My wife gets upset because though she loves animals, she says there's nobody saving the aborted children, but everybody wants to save a tiger. And you get a little tiger doll if you donate money. Imagine if you saved a kid. How much you think it would cost if somebody was going in to have an abortion full term? How much you think it would cost for them to sell the baby to you? Miss, don't do it. We'll give you how much money. You deliver the baby. We'll take the baby. And would it be 10 grand? 10 grand would do it? Do you think you can get the baby for 5 grand? Do you think get the baby for 2 grand? 1,500? So Sarah says on her Facebook page, he's placing our nation in great danger. He's been placing our nation in great danger. Look what he's done to the military. Huh? A combat pilot asked two lesbians at a military ball not to have sex on the dance floor, and he was run out of the service. How's that? Yep. And a guy named Michael Weinstein is a one-man war against Christianity in the military. And he gets listened to by the Pentagon. One man. How's that? What's the Pentagon doing? What do you think? If Patton walked into the Pentagon, what do you think you'd hear besides screams, shots, and people flying out of windows? Sarah says solutions to immigration and other national problems deserve a consensus and a rule of law. But Obama doesn't understand the way it's supposed to work. The communists never do. Meanwhile, Palin contended some bad, bad characters can cross the nation's border. A terrorist even. I got a news for Colorado. You're going to meet a lot of narco terrorists up there. And you're going to lose your business to the Mexican underground. Yeah. And nobody's going to help you out. You think the cops are going to get involved? They're going to follow the laws you want to follow? There's nothing there to sift out the bad guys. You better believe it. And Sheriff Arpaio is filing a lawsuit against President Obama. Obama's executive action on immigration rewards lawlessness, and he's willing to disregard the nation's laws and allow immigrants to remain in the United States for political reasons. You know who's getting the short end of the stick on this? Blacks. Because they're going to get squeezed out of jobs. Low-end jobs. They're going to get squeezed out. Just think about it. Just think about it. Think of all the reasons why Mexicans, Latinos will be hired over blacks. I was in a restaurant the other night. 80% of the staff was a Latino. They spoke English, and then amongst themselves, they spoke Spanish. There were no blacks. The White House doesn't like to use the term illegal immigrants, but prefers to call them undocumented Democrats. Our border patrolmen and women, they're telling their bosses and politicians they can't manage the crisis already. And now that the word is out that everybody, it's come on in and get your green card. As a matter of fact, I read today, the Mexican government has a bus in Atlanta, Georgia. It's going to be there for 5 days. All the Mexicans in Georgia can go there and they can get Mexican passports and Mexican IDs so that they can be documented here in the USA. And then that bus travels through Georgia for the rest of the month. I told you about my friend that went in a motor vehicle and the line was like 20 people long and he was getting frustrated, a very impatient guy. And a woman came to the counter and shouted, "Does anybody here speak Moldavian?" And the guy says, "I do." She says, "Come right up front." And I told you, my daughter, when she has problems with her phone, she calls the phone company and it'll say, if you speak Chinese, press 2. She always presses 2 rather than wait. And the woman says, "You don't speak Chinese." She says, "Look, here's my problem. You speak English, right?" Yeah. She also called on Congress to strike back at Obama's plans, as it has no obligation to work with Obama to bring his agenda to fundamentally transform America. Sarah Palin was the first one to call Obamacare death panels, and she was right. She was right. And if you don't believe there's death panels, just look at the VA. She also said that, and you know what's sad about the VA? GIs do not complain. They've been trained to suck up hardship. And so therefore, they just wait it out. And in waiting, they die. They're putting up this due diligence, a new replacement for the guy that had a good time on the American dime. And he looks like he's going to really get people in line. But you know what? I would close it tomorrow. I would give out vouchers to all of the vets, and I would go public with those hospitals and put them up for sale for medical purposes. You're not going to fix this VA. In 6 months, they're going to be back to the same old way. That's the way government works. I give you an example. I called a government agency to check on a bill to be paid. I got a nice voice that tells you how many other phone numbers you can call if you're A, B, C, D, E, and F. And if you're G, I hang on the phone. So I'm G, I'm hanging on the phone, and a pleasant voice comes over and goes, "There's a 1 hour wait." A 1 hour wait to ask a 10-second question. Where's my money? So I hung on for a half hour hoping that the 1 hour was an exaggeration, but it wasn't. So I hung up. I did 2 hours work. I went back, and now it's a Friday. We're coming up on 4 o'clock. And I finally get in and press G. And now the wait is 45 minutes. And I said to myself, I know what this is. This person has been gone since lunchtime, if they came in at all. And they're waiting you out until it's 5 o'clock, and then you get the message, our hours are, and we don't work weekends. Our hours are 9 to 5. But they're really 10 to 3, minus 62 coffee breaks. Yeah, 80% reduction in government size, 80% reduction in taxes will solve that problem. And somebody say, 80%, you'll put the government out of business. Okay, 79%. Yeah, what a joke. We're in trouble, man. We're in trouble. We're all waiting for the fat lady to sing. I give you a little Tequila by Wes Montgomery, a guitarist, a jazz guitarist. Nice sound. There's an outfit called Judicial Watch, and under the Freedom of Information Act, that they try and get as much covering up documents as possible. And so here's one that they got on Eric Holder. Fast and furious email to Attorney General Eric Holder from a communications advisor, October the 5th at 2011. President Obama withheld this email under executive privilege. He does a lot with his executive privileges, doesn't he? Not bad for a guy with only a phone and a pen. I wonder if it's an Obama phone. But it was recently released as a result of a lawsuit filed by Judicial Watch with the Justice Department. Here's page 733. Matthew Miller to Attorney General Holder. Isn't that Miller, the guy that testified and he had a look on his face like Lois Lerner? I might be wrong, but I think that's him. And here's what he told Holder. Send a letter to the Hill explaining what happened. Put in context the amount of information you get every week. Say that you don't recall reading those bullets or being aware of Fast and Furious at any time before early this year. He's telling them what to say. But in any event, you certainly weren't aware of the gunwalking aspect of it until the news broke earlier this year, at which time you took immediate steps to have the IG investigate. He's telling them what to say. This needs to happen tomorrow. In fact, it should have happened today. The last time your credibility was directly questioned was whether you had disclosed all of your amicus briefs. The story started to break on a Thursday night, and we made people stay up all night compiling information so we could get a response out by 1 p.m. or so on Friday. Find a way, his step two, find a way for you to get in front of a reporter or two about this. You don't want to call a press conference on this because it will blow things out of perspective. But if you have any events in the next few days, preferably tomorrow, you could find a way to take two or three questions on it afterwards. Or, if that's not easily doable, you could find a way to run into a couple of reporters on your way to something. Maybe Pete Williams, Carrie, Pete Yost. Okay, so he's telling them which reporters to run into. That part can be managed. Most important is that you're in front of a camera in a relaxed manner, giving a response you have rehearsed. It would be ideal if those two things happened in the same day, so you didn't have two new cycles of responding. You want to do it all at once. There may be things you need to do to go on offenses as well. But I think most important right now is that you answer the charge about covering this up. Then you can move to offense. And there's a footnote that says Pete Yost is Associated Press. Wrote article on Bush-era gunwalking case that seemed to so impress Holder. He wrote, wow. Unbelievable. So that's what you got going on. You want to hear some comments? Let me see if we got comments here. Oh, he's got more. He's got more. The more I think about the offense versus defense part, I do think you should go on offense too. After explaining what happened, you should go back at them by saying something like, but let's be clear about what this is all about. I ordered an investigation into what happened, but there are people on the Hill who don't care about what really happened. For them, this has become some scoring political points and weakening an agency charged with cracking down on gun violence. There are a lot of powerful lobbyists and their allies on the Hill who have wanted to cripple the ATF for a long time, and they're using this as an opportunity to do so. You see how divided we are? And wedge these guys do wedgies every day. I'm not going to let them. It's clear the ATF made mistakes here. We've cleaned house. Nobody cleans house. They don't do the doilies. They don't do the dishes. And we're going to fix the agency. But we're not going to allow it to be put out of business by people carrying water for the gun lobby. This part has to be, in my opinion on lobbies, none of them. Guns. Religious, EPA, the green communists. No lobbies. Lobbies are dangerous. Lobbies are bribe opportunities for weak, need politicians. And that's all of them. Bribes are nothing more than a conduit. Lobbies are nothing more than a conduit for bribes. The only lobby in Washington should be in a hotel at checkout time. This part has to be really carefully crafted and delivered. But I think this is what they do all day, craft and deliver. But I think it could be effective as a 1-2 punch. One, explain what happened with your testimony. Two, punch back. If I were you, I would want answers from the entire team, Cole, Reich, on down, on why the department let ESA decide what to do with these memos. The whole point of the review is to find things like this and come up with plans for dealing with them. It should have been obvious that these memos were going to be a huge target, and instead of just handing them over, the department should have put them to reporters on its own terms instead of letting ESA do it. Give them to ESA at the same time you give them to the press with an explanation that takes the air out of the balloon. And if the answer is we owe it to ESA to give him this stuff first, well, that's obviously ridiculous. Listen to this. I talked to NYT, New York Times, NBC, Nothing But Communist, and NPR, that's National Pervert Radio. Give them all of this. NBC, not likely to go, is still waiting on the other two. Then the documents redact the points Schmeler actually sent to the news outlets. That is public information that should not be redacted. Schultz to Schmeler. Any way we can fix Fox. That's it, man. They want to hear what the comments are? Not to take away from this article, but a nice video on Lois Lerner being targeted tries to get into a neighbor's house. Neighbor says, I don't want you. How's that, man? I'm really starting to think that every aspect of the last 6 years has been built on lies and corruption. The Democrat Party is the party of lies. One lies and the other swears to it. Wow, and this is supposedly... The rhinos are different. They lay low under the rock. They don't come out. They're hoping the Democrats will self-destruct. Wow, and this is... But there are 350 bills that Harry Reid sat on that now need a signature. Wow, this is supposedly the top cop in the land. I guess we can't get any truth there ever either. At the same time, I got to tell you something about the gun running. That gun running went into the hands of narco-terrorists who have the power to overthrow the Mexican government. And you see that FARC is raising its ugly head once again in Colombia. So if you got out a map of Latin American countries, I think you'd be shocked to see how many hammer and sickles are going to end up on many countries. At the same time, if you read how they start by diverting the problem back on top, someone else, this is one thing this administration has been doing for a long time and fools buy off on it. I was going to do a blog tonight. Goober is right. Americans are stupid. And here's another one. Odessa Taft says, Alinsky methods and all lawyered up. Remember what is or there is, no there, there. We need more cowbells for these lawyers. Prison is too good for this traitor. Brian Terry's death, not to mention, it's not hundreds of Mexicans. It's thousands of Mexicans. They got one little town that wiped out a student class of 43, and nobody knows where they are. The helpless have no guns, and the narco-terrorists and the government have guns. And that president down there is a super coyote. He is bringing people up to the border and dumping them in the United States. He's got a cannonball being fired into the United States. Just how much more do the American people have to deal with from Obama? There should be warrants for Obama, Holder, FBI head, and Reid, Pelosi, and the Homeland Sect. Head. Make it happen as soon as possible and stop this madness. It's all the president's people trying to get him out of the troubling things that he's done to this country. It's a game plan. Jimmy from Brooklyn calls it the evolution, a revolution, and he calls it a slow coup. And now they're finding out they got 30. They got a picture of Eric Holder with a shredded pile of paper saying, I got the documents. Here they are. Yeah, a lesson in how the administration attempts to manipulate the press and news coverage. Fast and furious email to Attorney General Eric Holder from a communications advisor. I think, and he's copying the two articles I just read to you. Yeah, everybody is saying the same thing. And he mentions that Eric Holder says below he doesn't usually bother to read briefings sent to him directly by his top advisors, including mentions of Fast and Furious, long before he said he heard of the case. They all lie, man. Democrats lie like crazy. They tell you child murder is a woman's right to choose, child's right to choose. Can't you wait till he speaks and then give him a vote? No, you know why? Because he'd vote life. 4,700 kids a day are butchered in Democrat chop shops. And I think the government pays $300 a head. Yeah. So your tax money is going to murder the next generation. On the border, we got their replacements. A 1,200,000 kids are murdered every year in the United States. If they had Nuremberg trials in the United States, the entire Supreme Court would be sitting there. And a lot of politicians. And I'm not talking about female politicians. I'm talking about male politicians who couldn't handle, metal schmerz. Yeah, unbelievable. You don't know what metal schmerz are. Only a woman would know. I'm very close to a woman. She gives me all the inside information. It is really funny. But that president of Mexico, he held Sergeant Tom Arrese in payback for Eric Holder's Fast and Furious. Yeah, that's what we got. I got pictures of smoking guns now. It's a gun with a cigarette on it. Oh, Tehran, a Friday sermon. They had two guys with flags in Berkeley Communist College, and one flag was the Israeli flag, and everybody was downgrading it and spitting on it. Not spitting, but they were casting aspersions about it. And they had an ISIS flag. They were all cheering for ISIS. Imagine these bastards, if they ever had to serve their country, they would take up arms against it. It is really sad. We have destroyed a great nation. And we're all going to pay the price. It's really sad. Okay, so having said that, I don't know what we're going to do next. Maybe we'll go to a tune, give you a nice tune. I got T for Two. You want to hear T for Two?
So CNN has been burying Herman Cain. If they had enough dirt and shovels, they would have put him under right there. And they're working, of course, for the communists, the Obama administration, the Marxists, the leftists, the Leninists, the Trotskyites, and they want the takedown of America, what's left of it. And they're part of the blame and deflect crowd. And I was listening, I'll give you an example of how Fox is drifting over to CNN style reporting. Shepard Smith, singled out Haley Barbour for punishment because Mississippi wanted to save some kids. That's what it's all about. They wanted to save some kids, and Shepard said they went too far. You can't save them all. You have to kill some. Why are we offering them up as a sacrifice? And a shepherd said, suppose your 11-year-old daughter was walking down the road and she was raped. Would you want her to have that baby? And Haley said, yes. But with Shepard Smith, this is an old tactic of the communists. And what they do is they always use the 11-year-old innocent girl that gets raped. Now, in my time, they used to use the same argument to kill kids. And they would add this caveat. Suppose your daughter was walking down the road, your 11-year-old daughter, and she was raped by a black man. And that's how they used to shove pro-choice up your nose. Yeah. Raped by, oh, we got to kill that kid. Definitely got to kill that kid. Yeah, right? And that's how they used to win arguments, man. Now they don't do that. They've taken that section out. They've taken that section out of the argument. And I say, the thing you have to know about that is that that's a terrible tragedy. And there's only one thing worse, and that's a 10-year-old boy being sodomized by a brute. That boy will never be the same. His mind is gone. His mind is gone. His life is over at 10 years old. And that guy should have got two in behind the ear 10 years ago. And I know of people who check the pedophile register and see who's in the neighborhood and go to that pedophile and tell him he's got to move. And the less protection you get from the law, the more vigilantes you'll have in this country. So the law better do their job, and they better do it on the Mexican border. They got to close that border. There's 60,000 troops in Fort Hood, Texas. You can put them on the border. And you know the reason they're not closing the border? It's not because they love Mexicans. It's they want the drugs. They want the drugs for their children. They would rather see a Mexican die than Junior be without his joint for the weekend. You notice they talk about the death of one border guard and there's 50,000 dead Mexicans. 50,000 dead Mexicans. 2,000 guns Eric Holder sent into Mexico. 137 came back and been found here in the States. Do you know the 2,000 guns? That's enough to arm a regiment. And what makes you think the Mexican government can do anything? They're totally helpless too. Just like those ranchers on the American side. They're victims. They're wide open victims. They can be killed at any time. And this government is doing nothing. You know why? Because they want the Mexican vote and they want to play the Mexican La Raza card. And they could give two craps less about La Raza and blacks. They're just to be used. When you get a ladder from a Democrat, the two bottom rungs are always broken. They don't want you getting a leg up. They want you to be where they can control you. You'll never be a Herman Cain. I started to tell you the difference between a re-puppy who gets caught stealing or lying and a Democrat who gets caught, a Democamo who gets caught stealing. And the difference between the two is the re-puppy swears he didn't do it and the Democamo says you can't prove it. And on the Kim Kardashian wedding, that bridegroom should have known something was wrong when he walked into the wedding reception and there was a tote board on the wall and a phone bank. $20 million wedding. I'm sick. Can you imagine how many starving people you could have fed with that? We could have had pheasant under glass for everybody at the Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street. And they wouldn't have had to send the wine back because it was corked. You know what we need? We need a cup of tea. On that rape scene that Shepard Smith used as his argument for killing kids, you should know that the pregnancies caused by rape and incest are less than 1%. Less than 1%. Do you know what 1% is? 1% is the recovery rate for heroin addiction. You do drugs? You graduate from weed, you're on the road to doom. And weed is not good for your lungs. If you're going to do weed, take Marinol. Get a doctor's prescription. Tell them you got glaucoma. We can open up glaucoma shops in California. You know, my solution to the drug problem in the United States, which is the number one problem that nobody will talk about. It's the number one problem in the United States. It's a greater threat than nuclear war. One out of five Americans is a junkie. One junkie brings down five innocent people. It's bad. And having said that, the best way to get rid of drugs is you're never going to beat it because there's too much money in it. You round everybody up that's a drug addict and you send them to California. Be like a leper colony. Hang in there. I got to tell you something. Oh, we're recording. Okay. Yeah, we send everybody to California. And this way, when you come home from work and you say, where's Junior? Junior's in California. I'm reversing my decision. My first decision was first-time marijuana smokers should get the death penalty. Everybody thought that was a little harsh. They also think that my other ruling is very harsh, that the criminal who's found guilty, whatever his sentence is, his lawyer gets the same sentence. So if it's death, then it only becomes a question of who goes first to the gas chamber. Would it be A as an attorney and C for client? If you do it alphabetical, you could do a coin toss. No longer will it be...
Okay, we're back. That's an oldie but a goodie. If you consider it a goodie. Okay, we're out of time. We're going to testify to love. And we'll close with that.
Yeah.
every hand that reaches out, every hand that reaches out to offer peace, every simple act of mercy, every step to kingdom come, all the hope in every heart will speak what love has done.
Night, folks.